We will call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise. Do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I love doing that.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observations. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman. Bauman is absent, attending a Governor's Economic Development Summit that he was appointed to. Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held September 19th. Approve all claims through October 3rd in the amount of $775,148.80. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for Blue Springs Communications Tower lighting projects. Bids to be open October 17th at 9:15 a.m.
Rex, since Mark is here, could he explain the tower bid thing?
You bet.
What's coming on that?
I think $500,000.
Okay, and Don pointed out of the $775,000, $500,000 of that is a transfer. So it is not actually a bill.
It's transferred to the road department.
To the road department, which is a normal process. Okay, Mark.
As you know, we own the tower, not the land on the tower. We lease the land from City of Wymore, but we own the tower in Blue Springs. It's located near the Ball Diamonds. We acquired that tower for a dollar a few years back from the cable company down there. They were going to take it down, and we already had emergency service equipment on there. So we've been upgrading it over the years. We've taken care of the building. We've put a new fence around it for security purposes. We just had the tower plumbing tensioned. We've had it painted. And now the last thing needs attention is the lighting system. The current lighting system does not currently blink, does not go on and off, nor does it shut off during the daytime. So it's running 24/7. So our electric bill is running quite high there because of that. And so we had three companies come in to look at the old system. Nobody can repair it. It seems that the system that's in there currently is a homemade system. It's not a bought-in system. The other thing we're going to be doing is the bid includes LED lighting, which will be used, of course, less electricity. And I won't climb it, but I have a company that climbs it to replace the light bulbs almost every year. We have to replace the light bulbs. The LED lights will last 3-4 years longer. So we're putting it out for bids. Not something that a local company does, so we'll make sure that several companies get that.
What do you anticipate it?
Around 20, I got some preliminary, around $20,000.
That's not as bad as I thought then.
So hopefully it will come in a little better than that. We're bidding it. That was just them coming down when they were looking at it to repair it and just giving me kind of an estimate off the top of their head. But they were all right around the $20,000 figure. So this will be the same type of lighting system that Saline County and Jefferson County has put on their new towers that they had built. So I took the specs from there. Tower system instead of reinventing the wheel and utilizing. They're real happy with their systems on their towers. So.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I would move the consent agenda be approved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Regular agenda, comments from the public, and requests for future agenda items. Well, Barb's retired. 28 years. That's a lot of experience, history that is leaving Gage County. Thank you. Yes. Appreciate it. Enjoy your retirement.
We will.
Maybe Roger can grow watermelon.
Time to move on. But, yeah,
lots of good things have happened in 28 years. Maybe you do not, but overall, for as far as workplace, it's been good. Thank you all.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Barb.
Thanks, Barb.
Take care.
Jim Spangler, tourism report.
Make me follow the feel-good story.
Yeah, how are you going to beat the warm and fuzzy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where that's coming from.
Okay, I won't necessarily, this is actually my report for the third quarter. I didn't get here last month between some vacation that I took and getting our offices moved to the Carnegie Building, but and that's, I won't go through all my activities that I highlighted, but I do want to just kind of update you on our move to the Carnegie Building. We did about 10 days ago get moved over there, and things are really looking nice. I know Dennis has been by and took a look, and I invite each and every one of you to stop by and take a look. And we have Homestead National Monument set up their display area. They'll have a permanent display area on the main level where tourism's located. And then we have three other display areas, the Welsh Center in Wymore and the Old West Trails Center in Odell. And then Bernadette Korslund's going to set up her photography exhibit. So those will be rotating displays that about every 3 or 4 months we'll trade out and have a different entity there then. So that's, and then, you know, the chamber, obviously, and Engage Director Bill Demuth is down on the lower level. So stop by and see us sometime. On the second page of your report, that's the tourism lodging tax. Last fiscal year, we always talk about in 2010-11, we had that blip in October where some back taxes were collected on some entities that hadn't been paying. So if you take that out, which was, you know, a blip of about $12,000, then in 2010-11, the total tax would have been about $55,000. In 11 and 12, it was $52,200, so it was down just a little bit last fiscal year. The good news is the first month of this fiscal year, July of 2012, $6,027.72. So it's about $400 above what it was last year and higher than any of the previous 5 years. So that's good. Next page just shows kind of where we're at on the Visitor Improvement Fund. We have two, the House of Orange Multi-Use Complex and the Rice Lodge and Conference Center. Those are the two that have been approved by you folks that haven't been turned in for a reimbursement yet. So we have $45,000 that's committed. The Visitor Improvement Fund balance as of August 31 was $71,829.78. And then the last page, the budget, I just want to point out that on the revenue side, the total revenue for fiscal year to date that says $77,002.60, that does not reflect the last payment that we just received for June of 2012, which was $5,314. So when it's all said and done, the revenue will be about $82,000 and the expenses about $80,000. So we'll be carrying over about a $2,000 profit. The only other thing I'd like to do before I ask you if you have any questions is just real briefly take 2 minutes just to kind of tell you what groups have been here, what activities have taken place in the last 6 months, and kind of what we have on the horizon.
In the last 6 months, and I'll just rattle these off, we've had a Topeka Parks and Rec bus tour. Pawnee County had what they call a familiarization tour. They had like a little bus, like a Kensington bus that came over with some people and just familiarized themselves with Gage County. We had a Bank Iowa bus tour out of Clarinda. Of course, all the 150th events and the Chautauqua events that took place out at the homestead. We had a Nebraska Land chapter of Model T Fords that came through Beatrice. We had our hog rally, Harley Owners Group, in over Memorial Day weekend. Southeast Nebraska Resource Network had a conference here. Iowa-Nebraska State Bank had a bus tour. They're out of South Sioux City. There were two separate buses from Union Bank out of Lincoln that came down here and visited the homestead. There was a group of Australian farmers that were here. Nebraska Fallen Firefighter Memorial Service that Mark Mainz helped put on down in Wymore. Hall bus tours out of Lincoln. They're in Lincoln, but the group was from Omaha. The NRD hosted a regional range judging contest here recently out at the homestead. And, of course, numerous baseball and softball tournaments that were held here in town. As far as what's coming up for the rest of the year, I should mention, too, we just had a bulldog dog show out at the fairgrounds, too, that was a national thing. There's about 80 dogs that were there. Then on October 12th to 13th, the Toastmasters are having a conference here. On October 19th, Friendship Force, it's a group from Canada that's coming down to visit Gage County. October 20 to 21, it's going to be a small group, but it's a Nebraska Studebaker Club, so there's going to be some Studebakers in town that day. October 23rd, Farmers and Merchants Bank bus tour out of Kearney. And October 26th to 27th, Nebraska-Texas Longhorn Association. They kind of have been the last 3 or 4 years have come here annually and meet out at the and have gathering out at the sale barn. And in 2013, we've already got two groups committed, and we're looking to expand our basketball tournament that we have every year. From last year we had 78 teams. We're going to try to get it up to 90 teams this year, and we're going to utilize Wymore Southern High School, and Diller O'Dell have both agreed to help host that tournament. Freeman's in some renovation projects as far as their gymnasium, so we weren't able to use that one for this coming year. Any questions at all? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Deborah Marshall Brown, Highway. Oh, motion to put the...
Move that we put the Jim's report on file.
Moved by Gary.
Second.
Seconded by Myron. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Deborah Marshall Brown, Road Report. You're up.
I just wanted to give you an update on the rock and gravel that you approved last week, so I have the bids on the spreadsheet there.
Thank you. You can see the expense of the bid.
I may have worded it wrong if it's a gravel. I call it a road report, so.
Okay.
How do you do it, Sly? Please want to hear from Matt, too. Yeah.
Good morning. Thank you.
That's really the only update I have for you this week is we started actually our rock and gravel for the fall allotment on the 21st. So we are ready to move. Any questions?
Coming up, Deborah, I don't know if you want to brief us now. We have that road closure. If you'd like to touch on that a little bit with everybody coming up.
I think we need to get some clarification from Roger, because I believe it needs to be petitioned by the people to close instead of individual. So we may have to wait 2 weeks on that.
Okay. That's fine then.
And And Roger can. Otherwise, I could request to close your road.
Yeah.
You know, it's to me, it states you need a 10 people within a 10-mile area to close a road. And I think we better investigate that a little bit.
And to request a study is what we
correct.
And that's what we were doing, weren't we? We're going to
request a study. But it's not petitioned by the people.
Oh, okay.
It's petitioned by an individual.
But I think the board does under 1722, and I just Don brought this to my attention. But I think it does provide that basically there's two ways: the board acting in the best interest and the public's interest may initiate it.
Okay.
But you can also have individuals. So there's basically two ways that it appears to me that it can come up.
If you're comfortable with it, then we can continue.
Well, I mean, basically 1722 stands on its own. It just says the county board of any county may by resolution, when it deems the public interest may require a vacation or abandonment, direct the county superintendent.
Okay, but I guess where I'm coming from, though, the request is from an individual. It wasn't initiated by the board.
Oh, okay. All right. So somebody did petition, but they don't have 10 signatures?
Right.
Okay. If they're doing 1723, yes, they need to have.
Okay.
Yeah, because it requires 10 people within a 10-mile.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I mean, we have this note. I'm sure everybody has it in their packet or should, that, you know, it came from the township officials then, too. But that.
If it's an individual, I think they need to either that or they need to convince the board that it's in the public interest to initiate it.
Okay.
And it shouldn't be an issue down there to get signatures.
No.
It's just we need to make sure we do it right the way we've required others to do it.
Well, you can see why. I mean, if somebody's going to have problems getting to their fields or their homestead.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it only affects probably two landowners, but we need to make sure we do it right.
I wonder, down in the Sand Dunes, you'd have trouble finding 10 people within 10 miles.
Yeah, I bet you would. Deborah, you want to touch on, Terry, you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. You want to touch on the illegal dumping site?
Absolutely. Rex gave me a call about an illegal dump site just south of Holmesville. And the next day I acquired documentation from Linda Grell to proceed with application to get federal a grant from the DEQ. I then called the DEQ and got an approval that we were approved as a county to move forward with that cleanup. I then scheduled on Monday, we started our cleanup, and we took pictures before and after. And all documentation has been submitted to the DEQ for reimbursement of that cleanup.
How long did that take?
From the time you called me the 19th, we had it finished. That was a Wednesday, and the following Monday it was done.
Any leads on that, Gus?
There was nothing in there that had any names on it.
Okay.
The one guy looked to me like agricultural type tubs. And there was no tags on the tubs. They pulled the tags off.
You want to fill them in where we're going in the future on that road?
We are going to, we're requesting the township now for suggestions on how to close the road. I've also submitted to the county surveyor to research the road. It does end into a pasture land, so we don't really know we want to know our boundaries there, legal boundaries, ownership of what we need to do there. So, and then after we get that information, we'll schedule a meeting probably around December with the township to see about their suggestions on closing that road and what those suggestions are.
I believe the road dies into the river personally. I think we are in fields and it just slowly keeps moving around. Maybe we might be out of our road by 100 feet or further.
If you look at the barricades that are still there years ago, we're in the farmer's field quite a way.
Do we barricade that road? These are questions for the future for you. Do you barricade that road? Do you put gates on that road, give them to landowner, let landowner open close? Landowners have asked questions of me already about are they going to dump in front of the gates? My answer is, well, it'd probably be easier to clean up in front of the gates than it is in 20-foot bank of the river. And do we need to go with some of the satellite cameras that Gus has talked about to catch these individuals? There is a cost associated with correcting this.
If I may interject, we have put up barricades and they are stolen when we do. They've come up missing, and we have to put them back out again. We've tried that.
On that road?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that. So, okay, anything else on that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Approve or disapprove informal bid from Carriage Motor for the purchase of a Chevy Impala in the amount of $13,239 for the Sheriff's Department.
Gus, you want to address these? We're into your stuff.
Good morning. First one there on the agenda, this would be replacing the one of the jail vehicles we have right now. I believe it's 14 years old and has about 180 or 85,000 miles on it. And so we're about done with our usefulness on that vehicle. And so I talked to my committee, and I actually talked to Myron, and we decided to go ahead and get some unofficial quotes, and the committee discussed it Monday. They looked at the three quotes that I had, and I think everybody's pretty much in agreement. The one you have here today on the agenda is one we felt was the best deal of them all.
What year and how many miles this has?
This one? It's a 2011, and I believe it had like 38,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was very fair.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
And we had another bid with three, Carriage and Ford and Twin Rivers. We had bids for three different vehicles and about the approximate same miles, and this one was the
best price.
Best price.
Yeah.
Lowest bid.
Yeah, to me, that seems fair. Okay, we have a motion.
Motion. Make a motion to purchase this vehicle.
Motion moved by Warren, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote.
And, one more quick comment. This is in the budget. This amount, there was, I think, $15,000 in the budget.
It is in his budget.
Yes.
It is in the jail line.
Jail line. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just so everyone knows, this is coming out of the correction side.
That's correct.
Okay. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Before we go into the bids on, looks like the next two items anyway are on the detention center over there. Gus, when I read the letter from the jail standards, I don't know if that's a standard paragraph at the very bottom, but at this meeting, you and your governing body will have the opportunity to hear the board's comments, and your board may be required to meet soon thereafter to address. Is that something new?
Yeah, I saw it myself. Amber and I will be going up to appear in front of them. I don't see any major issue changes here because I approached them with the list of items I had to correct, and they put us on. I asked for 5-year. I remember correctly years ago, they put me on a 3-year plan, which we're coming up on next year, and we have one item left. So I think they'll look at that and see that we're making progress on that, and they'll probably go ahead and just extend it out like it's supposed to be and let us finish up on it. So I think maybe this is just for information. Yes, he wants to be there. I don't know. We'll find out. That's why we're going to attend up there and see what else they might recommend. But I think this is kind of within.
This just struck me as something that they've never added.
I've never seen that one before. No.
Okay.
Yeah. But because there's so many items on there, they might want to touch base with the board.
This is based off of their annual jail standards review.
Yes, that's correct. They were just down here last month and did their annual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on the agenda, approve or disapprove informal bid from Brett Wells Construction for Breezeway project in the amount of $1,165 for the Sheriff's Department.
This has been something we need to been getting done for a long time, and now that we have the $120,000, the board always budgets. Well, we've been trying to use that, you know, for getting some of the standards taken care of, and we've been throwing in a few here and there to some basic maintenance. And this is the same thing. It's a little project we need to get done before weather gets here. It's between the old sheriff's living quarters and the East Sallyport area. The siding is rotted and starting to fall off. You can see the insulation on 2x4s, and the door is the new door that was installed years ago. It's kind of just the sills are rotting out, and it's a security issue. So it's just something we need to get sealed up before the weather gets here.
Okay.
We had three quotes on this also.
That's correct.
Okay.
I would move we approve.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove informal bid from Stephan Carpentry and Construction for 13-foot interior wall project in the amount of $1,000 for the Sheriff's Department.
This is also, we had three quotes I gave committee Monday. What we're trying to do is currently the jail director is in an office, so it's actually a closet. It's probably about 6x10, 5x10, something like that. And she's out of room, and we just got to get her out. So what I'm doing is I'm going to take our existing training room and break room, and we're just splitting it in half, just putting a wall right across the center and putting a door in it. And then she'll have that for office area, and then we can use the closet for closet purposes, storage, whatever it might be. And then what little bit's left on break area is what we're going to have for break area. So, and again, this will be out of the money that, that the board's budgeted for maintenance.
Any more discussion?
Oh, and I might add, Rex, the question was asked, Fire Marshal has no problem with that, so okay, we're good to go.
That's my next question.
Okay, we need motions.
I would move we approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove emergency medical service interlocal agreement between Gage County and Pickerel Rural Fire and Village of Claytonia.
Make motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution acting highway superintendent. Okay, this is the road study. I think we just take no action on it.
Give it some time.
Give it some time. And discussion on the pictometry program.
Good morning.
Okay, Doug's handing out some information. This project was brought to the board a few weeks ago. This is something that I know since I've been here, the past 10 years or so, has been brought up several times by some of the board members that we look at doing a flyover of the county. 2005, we did do a flyover. Patty had a flyover done of the county. But it was just of ag buildings, and that didn't benefit none of the other departments as this new system would. We reviewed this about 3 months ago on a regional basis to see if there was any regional money that could be available for that, and there is not. But the counties involved in the region, in our emergency management region, there is several counties that are going with this system. Jefferson County's had it for a couple of years. Lancaster County's had it. It's doing another flyover. Nemahal County just recently purchased it. So there's some other counties that are taking a look at it. So we have kind of where we're at today is I reviewed it on a regional basis, brought it to locally. We reviewed it. Then I brought it to the county board. With the county board, by your recommendation, we did have a public meeting. We had it held at the library. Didn't have a real good attendance, but there was quite a few key people there that evening at the library. We brought it back to finance the other morning, and it was suggested we bring it down to the full board for discussion at this time. So there's some items in their packet here that Doug will discuss when he gets back over here. But we think it's a very valuable project. Probably one of the key things that this project will do is benefit more than one agency within the county. In the county, speaking of the county, of the courthouse. And so that's one of the things we've taken a look at versus the last time we had a flown back in 2005 where they just did the ag building. So I'll let Doug take and give you some of the other things that we feel that are benefits for the project.
Obviously, it benefits a lot of entities that we have in the county. I can speak mostly, I guess, from a law enforcement and a first responder aspect of it, on the things that it can benefit. I could probably type page after page of things that we can do or say that it will benefit us, to try and help sell this project. But I guess some of the big things are going to be that, you know, we listed here in the benefited parties under the sheriff, law enforcement, the 911 center, rural, city, fire rescue, and first responders, just to kind of lump those all into one category without breaking it down separately for each group. When we have a situation or an incident that we respond to, or we have a large project that we're working on for a deal like maybe out at the homestead or some of the community events that we try to map and plan, you know, for the best use of personnel and resources based on the geographical area that we're going to cover. With this type of mapping and stuff, we can give an accurate and very good visual depiction of what the areas that we're trying to cover and respond to. And if we have an incident in a rural area, And we have to respond. I know one time we had a deal kind of down in the Blue Springs area. We had to respond to an area where there was a road closed, and it was a real muddy day and that type of thing. And you know, if we could pull up a picture of that area and where that road is closed and which avenue to best approach that, you know, for the safety of our responding deputies or team members and different things, that we can best plan that, you know, where we might need some resources at and some different things, you know. And we've done a lot with the Kelly case, you know, and missing persons case over the last several years and stuff, and we have mapped out and many, many areas, you know, ponds and lakes and some different areas that we have searched and had teams and groups that have volunteered to come in, and this would be a huge tool for those type of incidents. The other thing that I really want to stress on is the critical 360 thing that you have in your handout there, and what that is it's a camera, and it's a special use camera, and you can photograph the interior of buildings. And our primary goal with that would be to photograph the schools in Gage County. And when we can
do
go in
do
and
that
photo,
or do they do that?
We do that.
Okay.
What they do is we purchase the camera, and then they send somebody down to train us on the use of that camera. And it's 2 days of training. And he said, normally people will pick the biggest school they have in the county and do that as their project. And so for that 2 days, they send somebody down and they train you on how to properly use the equipment, so that you can come in. So we would, like for this room, for example, we would photograph this entire room. And what it would do is it would photograph the ceiling, the walls, and the floors and everything in there. And it would photograph every window and door area in there. And so, then when we have an aerial view of, say, this, it could be the courthouse, too. It doesn't necessarily just have to be a school. Anywhere that we want to photograph for security reasons or anything to have a better view of it for any first response. And so it would show every window and door in there. It would show what the layout of the room is. You can measure, you know, each room. You can do all those things. But then if there's a door in that room, you just move your cursor on your mouse over that door, and then it takes you into the next room. And when we do an aerial view of the school or the building, then it gives a blueprint or a layout of what the floor plan is for each floor of the structure. And so you can hover over like an area where it'll show like the gymnasium or the lunchroom, and then you can click on that and it'll take you right into that room then, into that building. And then you can walk through the whole structure wherever you're at into that area, and you can see where every entrance, every exit, every window, every door is, interior, exterior of that facility. So that if you have to plan a response to that area, then you know which avenues to approach and which are safe areas and which are maybe areas of concern. And one of the big things, too, is the sheriff and I, we just went down to Blue Springs the other day when they had their school safety, you know, evacuation drills and things like that. I think this would be a real good opportunity for us to partner with the schools in their emergency and evacuation plans. They plan for different events that they have throughout the year that they plan for. And this would be a good way for us to partner with them to maybe set up, you know, and help them with an aerial view of those areas that are zoomed in into is it the community view, Mark, or is it the up close to 3 inches view? The community view, it gives a lot more higher resolution, and you can see, you know, a 3D view of all the buildings, the streets that they have to cross into their safe area where they go to in their designated plans. And, you know, there's a ton of stuff that I can't begin to explain on the system that, you know, the presentation, you know, speaks volumes for what its capabilities are. This is something that we feel really strong about, and we'd ask for your support. And if you have any questions, I'd try and answer them.
I got some, Doug. I am not against it. I believe it's a good process. Okay, there's obviously a yearly expense with it too, correct? I mean, what's the $5,600 you're seeing here, the change finder?
Patty could probably talk on that a little bit. The one that you have that shows the change finder on there, if you see the picture of the building, the house on the left, it shows a red outline that goes on beyond the building there. So when they do the initial flyover, they would capture any structures that are over 150 square foot. and it marks those. It recognizes that that's over 150 square feet. So the next flyover that they do, then it would highlight any changes that are made to those structures, whether they're demolished. It would mark those then as a demolished building.
So software is included in the flyover?
Right.
Yes.
Rex, the original, if you look at the quote here that has a pictometry, there's the flight number 192,575. They break that into three payments. So over a three-year period, they divide it by thirds.
Okay.
And this, everything's included in that. Except if you wanted to add the change finder or the 3D camera. So there is that additional cost on top of that if you want to add those two things. But there's not a yearly user fee. It's a one-time fee, but you split it. You can either pay it now or they'll let you make three payments of three-year period.
We can also throw that in there for the the initial price that they had given us with this new quote as part of the NICOR project with Lancaster and Douglas County, that we would get this preferred pricing by doing this, and it was just a few dollars short of $30,000 that we would save if we participate in this project. Jefferson County has been a part of this for, 3 years or something along those lines? And
they're getting ready to do their flyover.
Nemaha County, I think it was, just committed last week to doing it also. And with the money that we would save, the $30,000 savings in there, in the one email that Mark had gotten from this Doug from Pictometry, is that they would easily pay for the Critical 360 project and to do all the schools in Gage County with some money left over. So, I mean, it's a savings. It isn't really going to pay for it, but it would save us if we did want to purchase it. It would be able to give us the funding, you know, off the other price to do that project for the entire county.
I believe this board is going to have to look at an IT person in the future, information director, something. This is probably going to go hand in hand, but if you notice the wages of the city, their IT person was $70,000, I think. It just was just come out. So there is a cost associated with everything we do, and it's not just a flyover expense. You also then need somebody to handle everything in the future with it, and with the technology of the courthouse, the computers, the way the whole world is changing, everybody wants information at their fingertips. I want to pull the same thing I can get off my laptop right here, right now.
And I would throw out there with the pictures, when they take these pictures, what is the turnaround time? 6 weeks, I think he said. Within 6 weeks from the date that they start the flyover, they do all the photographing, they download them onto a hard drive, and we would have those within 6 weeks, he said, or 60 days maybe it was. I'm not real sure. We own those pictures. I mean, so we have control over what we do with those pictures. And so it's not, there is no yearly thing where we have to do all these other things. Once we get the pictures, I mean, we own them. We can do what we want with them for our purposes for the, you know, county government or officials. And
the system's kept on Pictometry server, so we don't have to house a server for that.
Right.
So that's the other nice thing about it.
Passing around there, Doug, is the pictures that we did of the flyover in 2005. And I believe Becky looked. I thought we paid close to over a two-year period. This of just the outbuildings was $23,000.
A year or total?
Total. And that was just the outbuildings. And what we did, that's probably, you know, Mark, probably you have to see the whole. Yeah. I mean, it's just so impressive. But
I can't remember which county in Missouri. Some of you maybe remember when I was trying to look up something there, I found a county in Missouri that had this. And it is amazing what it does.
You have to see it.
You have to see it.
Yeah.
But it was all at your fingertips, you know.
This quality right here, I mean, just in from 05 to now, I mean, and this has helped our office greatly because if I have 20 outbuildings out there, I number them from the sky. We've got the sheet that goes along. A person comes in, looks at that property record card and goes, okay, this is my grain bin that's gone. This is, you know, we can really relate to the person internally in the office then. When we look at something like that, and that's an old photo from 05. This has been by, you know, just, it's amazing.
Okay, the other question I have, what you're talking, you have 16,000 parcels. Do you have the personnel to do that without adding any more. The sheriff's office upgrading, updating schools, every area of concern that you have. Do you have the personnel to do it, or do you need additional personnel?
I could throw this out there. We talked the other morning at a committee meeting. One of the key things on here, the third item from the bottom there, talks about training. What it is, they pay to include in this price, I should say, to train three people annually, and they have a conference that you go to, and it's all end user conferences, and they pay for your airfare and stuff to get there to this conference, and then it's all end users. It's not like pictometry, you know, leads this training and says, hey, you do this, you do this. The end user groups get together and say, we've used it to do this, and we've used it to do this. The other key part of that, I think, is the 911 mapping, that this mapping, you know, is compatible with our current 911 mapping system, that it'll overlay with it. And we can put layer after layer whatever we want, whether it's street signs, fire hydrants, you know, anything that goes. And it gives our in-car, our laptops we have for our mobile data terminals, the capability to utilize that right from their cars. And so if our deputies work the night shift and they're working an area and they're looking for something or doing something in that area, it gives them a daytime view of that same area, which I think is huge. If you ever worked a night shift, you know, for very long, and then you have to work a day shift, it's like, hey, it's a whole different world out there. And so it gives them that ability to see that, what it really looks like, and so they know. If they have somebody they're looking for out in the field, there's a fence line, or there's, you know, whatever that's in that area that they have to kind of be cognizant of.
Now, I recognize that the training's provided. My point is...
Oh, you're right. I guess I kind of got sidetracked.
My point is that you're trained for it, but now all of a sudden you have this person doing this. Are you just short somewhere else that you need to...
No, because there really isn't anything that one person has to sit there and do over and over and over on this. That was the big thing. And in our committee meeting the other morning that we attended, I was talking how our special operations group team that we have in past years gone out in a certain portion of the year, and we would go to the different schools, maybe to the homesteads, more of our more sensitive areas in the county, and that we would gather data for those areas, and then we compile those, you know, into a book that we have, so that we have to respond to those areas, that we have better information, you know, in order to respond to those. And we have kind of taken that project upon ourselves, for our special operations group to do that as part of our regular training, and so that we can gather that data and compile that, and we could do the same thing and make these schools and part of those projects as well.
Now I got another question.
Okay.
These people make their living off government entities. They understand the budget process. We have no money budgeted for this. We choose to do this. Can we say we want in on it and you'll be paid next fiscal year? Because everything's budgeted. They understand there's budgets. They also understand they're coming in a month after the state of Nebraska budgets are finalized. Or do you walk away from $30,000 and say we budget it and we do it next year?
I think no.
Let me speak on that, because when there's two options here: a spring flyover and a fall flyover. The best flyover is the fall flyover. Although if we wish to wait, you know, and if we do the spring flyover next spring, this wouldn't even be, except for the $10,000 deposit to keep them on track and to start our process, is that we wouldn't have to, if we did the spring flyover, we wouldn't have to pay them any money until our next fiscal budget. But the fall flyover is a lot better flyover. So if there was money available to make that first payment, then, you know, we could do the flyover.
The
so
first
it's not
10,000
something
down payment.
The first
right.
10,000 deposit,
just,
right.
Yeah, just short of 10,000.
And then after that, it will be broken into three payments, and you can do it every budget year.
Okay, Carrie.
Definitely want the leaves off the trees in my.
Oh, I understand that.
I'll fly over.
I guess questions I have: privacy issue, number one. Second, you know, this money. I mean, the governor's already said the county's wasting money. Okay, there's going to be some cuts someplace, supposedly. This is added expense again. In the end of 3 years, what's going to happen? Okay, I mean, this stuff, information, will be outdated by 3 years, so no, what are they going to come in with a cost in 3 years on this?
And if you look towards the very back of that sheet, flip one more over, Terry, there you go. It shows what the cost is already going to be. If we commit to this now, and then what the 3 year flyover is, we know up front what it's going to be. Now we have the option not to do that, correct?
Right.
And we don't, but we don't have as much with the fuel price and things like that. We don't know what it's going to be. Then it could be more, it could be less. We're taking kind of a gamble if we don't, I guess.
Brand new pictures.
Question for the board.
Mm-hmm. And this is the cost that can be paid out.
Does this come out of Gus's budget? Does this come out of Patty's budget? Yeah. How do you? These are the questions that need asked.
I agree. That's a good point.
No way it's coming out of my budget.
I think it should come out of Gus's budget, but he doesn't have enough money. So.
Quite frankly, years ago we did, and we talked to Matt, because we did have an appraisal amount coming out, and it was a line item that was out
of
inheritance for $200,000. That basically is probably there. It's not a line item any longer. Am I correct?
Kind of. Well, there's money
because there used to be a plan for appraisals where we actually went out and did full blown appraisals. You know.
Correct.
We're trying to handle that in house as much as we can now. This would definitely be a good thing. Now, you know, Annette in my office is very computer minded as far as GIS. That's a wonderful program we put into place, but it took time to build that program. You know, and that had an expense to it. We put up a website, you know, that a lot of counties maybe don't have, parcel searches. And, I mean, you move forward or I understand there's a cost to everything, but it's just like a computer or a phone or anything like that. If you don't get moving forward, and I understand the cost, but then you start getting stuck in that area where, you know, I don't know.
Kathy?
My understanding when they did the presentation was if we do the fall flyover, we would have to pay them $10,000 up front. They do the flyover, and then we get, within about 60 days, we get all of the information. And the first payment of about $30,000 is due at that time, which would put that about maybe January, maybe February, which is this fiscal year. Whereas if we waited till the spring flyover, which they would still do it prior to leaves coming on, but that would be March, possibly April, and then, which we would still owe them the $10,000 right now to book it, but then the $30,000 we could stretch out until the next fiscal year. But if we do a fall flyover, we cannot wait till the next fiscal year to pay the $30,000. And the $90,000 is spread out over 3 years is where the $30,000 comes from. So I guess I would move toward waiting.
I think Kathy brings up a good point there, because when they talked about spreading that out over the next three budget years, they were talking about the spring one, and we really didn't talk that much at that meeting about the fall one. And I think you need to clarify that if that's due.
They still will. They still will do the 3 year. It's just that it's going to be due sooner.
It's going to be due sooner, and if that's correct,
it's something that this fiscal year instead of next.
This fiscal year, so that would need.
They're doing Lancaster and the rest of the counties in the spring flyover.
Right.
They're just trying to give us this option. I think it was to, you know, so they would have work in the area, because I believe Nemaha and them. The thing with the fall flyover, we're not guaranteed a fall flyover, because if it snows tomorrow, they won't fly. So either way, we're taking a chance if we can get the fall flyover or not, for sure. But I definitely, yeah, either way, they'll do the three. And actually, it'll be less than the 30, because you'll take the 10,000 off, so then you divide 80,000 into, so it'll be a little less than that. But
Hey, Mark, if they do the spring, are they doing early spring, so there's no foliage yet? Is that what you're doing?
Right. They still will.
That was their goal. They said there might still be some snow on the ground if you do the spring flyover. I mean, they can't guarantee it, and it could snow in the spring, he said. And if it starts snowing, he said, then we have to shut down and wait.
Spring was February this year.
Yeah.
One thing they did, you know, we talked about that NICOR project, and that's what brought this to our region, was they were trying to get more people to join on the NICOR, and that's been in over a three-month period. When I talked to Doug from Pictometry and the NICOR, the guy that's in charge of Douglas County NICOR, to me, what I told Doug was that it, from pictometry, I don't believe we wanted to enter into all these agreements. This is something this NICOR project's been working on for 4 months, and then we come in at the end and try to jump on, and I think there was a lot more interlocals and things that I think that we wanted to get involved in, and that's why they come back and said, well, we can understand that. We'll give you Nemaha County and the rest of the counties that weren't part of the first NICOR project that NICOR pricing. So
I guess I, for one, am always reluctant when you're hurried into a time frame to make a decision. I'm uncomfortable. I believe it's a good process. I believe it's one that the future we're aimed towards. My concerns, we need to talk them out in the open. We increased this year's total budget, $150,000 off our valuation increase for infrastructure. Primarily, this is $100,000 a year, and it will be in 3 years. I mean, make no mistake. You are looking at $100,000 a year once you commit to this for updates.
Where would you come up with that?
For the 3 years.
3 years.
For the 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is an associated expense that's going to be, and your people, you're going to have an IT person. There is associated expenses with it, so it needs talked through. It does should not be hurried on any decision just because we're in a time frame of the 30, you know, saving $28,000. $28,000 is a lot of money, but is it for their benefit or is it for our benefit without a discussion that takes place?
Terry had a question about privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
The when they fly these areas, like in a rural area, it isn't as high a resolution as it is for a community view. You can see a person on the ground, but you can't tell who they are. I mean, it isn't that high a resolution. It's not real time. So, I mean, it's not a live feed going on like with a satellite or something. It's a one-time picture. And you know, because that, he said, is that's kind of like the Big Brother thing that comes up and the question about that. And so he, when he showed us on the presentation, you know, you can see a person down there on that football field, but when you zoom in as tight as you can get it, you still couldn't really tell whether it was a man or a woman or who the person was.
Well, everybody, you know, has probably heard of the big EPA flyovers, too, and all the rhubarb that's caused, you know. So,
do they sell our information, their flyovers, or are they strictly ours?
I'm sure they're ours, but
we own the information after the flyover. They do not release it to anybody. We can share the information. If we want to partner with Jefferson or Lancaster or, you know, Nemaha, and both parties are willing to do that, we can share that information, you know, because if we have overlapping areas that we respond to or utilize each other's information, then for that, we can do that, but it's got to be with each party's consent.
Doug, has anybody spoken with Jefferson County, how they've got along over there, what's happened with them?
Yeah, they love it. They've layered it. They've layered it, so they've done electrical. February Light and Water is on it. Their fire hydrants, their fire districts, their voting precincts, their everything's on it, and all the county offices have use for it. The county took the responsibility to buy it so they could maintain it and have ownership of it. Now, if they want to share it with City of Fairbury or whatever, they can.
That's but, my question. Yeah. Do they share that with cities?
Not at this time.
Rural communities that's going to be using this. Now, what about a town of Odell? Is that open to them to look at stuff there?
If we enter into an agreement with them.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would be the biggest thing. But Jefferson County, like I said, the emergency manager over there manages the program now over there with their IT person doing some of it, but mostly is the emergency manager in the 911 center is in charge of it. And that's where they use it on a daily, hourly basis. They use it all the time. And they just recently bought the camera to do all their infrastructure, their buildings and such. They just bought that last week so they can add to the system even more. But Doug from Pictometry tells us that Jefferson County is probably using it more than anybody, the uses that they're using it for, than any of the customers in Nebraska right now, that they just continue to add to it every day, information every day. So it's really, really helped them, and they really have enjoyed having it, and they've had no problems whatsoever. So,
Jerry, just to expand on that a little, what it is we have ownership of it, and we can enter into agreement with any other government entity to share and work together with this piece of equipment. The question was brought up at the meeting the other night, okay, can a realtor use this? Well, a realtor can use it
But they can't, what was the limitations?
They can't measure and do those types of things that we can with it. If the assessor wants to post a picture of a property on the website, you know, then the public has access to look at that picture. But they can't go into the program and use the tools.
They can't legally measure off of it, which,
right,
whereby it's accurate enough that, like Patty's office, they'll be able to, they showed how he clicks on a spot, moves it down, clicks on another spot. He can measure that wall's 12 feet 6 inches high, mm-hmm, on with that 3D thing that they're coming out with this here thing. But like if a realtor, if you gave a realtor permission to use it, they can't use it for an appraisal because legally they cannot use the measurements on there.
The tools are only able to be utilized by the government entity that owns it.
Mm-hmm. One of the goals would be is to be able to display that picture here in this room. So we would put a layer of bridges on there, for example. Let's just use the bridge, for example. And there's a discussion like earlier, the closing a road or something, or closing a bridge or looking at a bridge. We can bring that up right here in the room. A matter of minutes, bring it up and either project it on a screen or have two TV monitors would be nice. And you can look at real life picture what you're talking about closing, or is it really that bad or whatever. It'll be that picture of that bridge and things. So that's one of the things they said. Really, a lot of the county boards get a lot of use out of it during meeting processes, that you can see that. So the highway department can put their stop signs on it. They can layer bridges. They can layer culverts. They can layer whatever, anything. And all it is a matter of sending them the information that we already have on 90. I think there is a program already with the bridges and stuff layered on it, and send it to and have pictometry put that on our system. So, and then the same way with the weed department surveying and that type of thing too. So,
okay.
By putting all of the other layers on, is that an extra charge or is that included?
No, I think that we just send it to them and it just goes on. Yeah. We the original setup for that is
actually you can do that in the program.
You can do that a program ourselves, and that's where Patty and that has agreed to with Patty to maintain that. And if we need a layer, we give it to her, and then it would just go on the system, and it gets downloaded to their server. So
protest time would be a great time to have too, so you guys can look at what you're exactly looking at in neighborhoods
and measure them.
And measure them.
And another thing, you know, years ago we did get away from the referee process because we were paying referees so many dollars per hour. So in the last several years, this board has sat down with the protesters, and you know, so over time we worked in a good manner because we haven't had that many protests. But years ago, we totally used the referee system. I mean, back, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we've saved a lot of money. Gary?
Quickly on the privacy issue also, I guess the thing you left out, Doug, was it's a 3D picture also, but you also can't see inside of the building with the 3D picture also. So, I mean, if it's 3D picture of the house, you're not going to be able to see that person that's in there changing their clothes.
But you can see how many windows and doors are on a structure, but you can't see into the building.
Yeah.
What difference is this than Google Street, some of those that are available now? Google Earth, I realize you can come closer, but you can draw all dimensions off Google Earth.
Those are real time.
Pardon me?
Aren't those real time?
No, they're still the same.
Are they?
Like they say, Rex, I mean, a picture's worth 1,000 words, you know. If you could see this presentation and the pictures and the detail, I mean, most Google things, unless you have Street View with a Google, you know, but it's only two-dimensional or... You know, I mean, I'm not a techie person for all that, but this is all three-dimensional. You can go around each side of that. You can just pan around that whole building. You just click on it, click on it, click on it. You can see 360 degrees. You can see, you know, a view from here, an angle view. I mean, you can measure the length, the width, the height, you know. I mean, you can do so many things with this that with Google. I mean, that's the first thing when we have a call out somewhere or something. We pull up the assessor's website, we pull up Google Earth, and you kind of get an idea, but yet that's really all you have is kind of an idea. You know, you don't have the depth and the detail of what those things really are. And if you're looking at a view from up above, you know, versus looking at it from an oblique angle, you know, it's a whole new, you know, picture that you're looking at.
Kathy?
when I went to the presentation that night, I want to say I was really disappointed because I know that we invited, you know, the city and the schools and, you know, a lot of people were invited, and I thought I'd better get there early to get a seat, and there weren't hardly any people there. But don't you think, and I know it's kind of trading tax dollars too, but if the city were to partner with us and possibly the schools and, you know, then it wouldn't be such a burden on the county itself. But otherwise, before and licensing the city or another community to be able to use it, maybe we could, you know, lease
those
the
are
rights
discussions
to it
that need to take
and
place.
Recoup some money.
I think that's a great idea.
We've had the discussions with the city, and we even had Jefferson County come over because none of the city people showed up for our meeting at the library, and so we had Jefferson County come over and show them the project. They don't at this point. I haven't talked to them any further, but you know, Chief Dickey stresses that at this point they don't have any interest in it. I guess the city engineering's office has something similar to this. Rex Behrens does already. He says it's a neat deal, but they have something like it already. But it don't. But what they have, they can't share with like the 911 and stuff like that. So that's all. I mean, so I don't know if that means absolutely not or anything else. But at this point, they didn't show no more interest in it. Even after we had February come over, John volunteered his time to come over and show it to him, and that's all we had from him. So
I think another thing that's really important to point out is, you know, the tornado, like even in Hallam, where we can go in and zoom in really close and figure out what houses are out there, of what part has been, you know, the tornado has hit. We'd be able to tell, you know, maybe people might be trapped. We might be able to go in there at a lot better angle and figure out exactly, you know, where the homes, you know, I think the disaster areas and using that for that purpose could be a very valuable tool too also.
And that was another thing. After a natural disaster, there were, I think, five of them, which we don't have hurricanes. There you go. They will come in and fly for free. And they showed Joplin, Missouri, and it was amazing, before and after. And that way, you mentioned for all of your FEMA monies, you have the documentation right there.
For that thing. Pat.
Gary,
Patty, do you have any discussion as far as expenses that your office is going to have in the next couple of years as far as going out? And is this going to save you any money by doing it?
To really say, I don't know a cost figure because we're still going to have to go out on new construction. And, you know, I can't tell quality and condition from just a picture. New construction, definitely. I've talked to the tax administrator, and they're still kind of up in the air whether that 1 and 6 year plan, because you really need to probably still drive by it. It's definitely going to help, but to say that it'll be a huge savings, I'm going to probably pick up buildings that I didn't know were there. I know in the last year some machine sheds and some things have been missed.
Lots of them. There's a lot of buildings that weren't permitted.
There's building permits that haven't been filed because we're finding them here and there. I think there was a program and incentive to finish a machine shed by the end of last year, maybe. And so I do believe there's machine sheds out there and some, you know, some areas out there that we would pick up new construction. However, I want to caution you because when I say I may get a valuation increase on new construction, I don't know what I'm going to have to do with small towns. The overall county valuation still may not, you know, yes, I might get some valuation on new construction, but I don't know what I'm going to have to do with small towns. So, in the, you know, when you come in here and say, am I going to give you another $2 or $3 million on valuation, I might be able to on new construction, but it might be offsetted because I'm going to have to go into small towns and possibly lower value. So, I mean, it's definitely a tool. It's just like GIS. It's a wonderful tool for us to use anytime you can go forward with the new technology. But, you know, it's just like a computer. You buy it one day, and a few years later, there's a lot more things you can do. So I've had lots of comments on websites. The appraisers, especially in the county, you know, people use our website a lot. we have to pay for a fee for that every year just to keep that going. And that benefits, you know, the outside person very well. It's not coming directly into the courthouse, into my office, and looking up things.
Any more discussion? Gary.
The only other thing I did want to touch on, Rex, is I do agree with you on the IT thing, is that, you know, here's an added expense, but I think that's something we need to be looking at anyway. I don't believe this program in itself is something that's going to create an IT position, because truly, once you get the pictures done and you got the program inserted and you got a little bit of training on staff, there really isn't much for an IT person to do with this program, because it's pretty user-friendly. I mean, once you've seen that program and the presentation and the things that you can do with it, it's really simple to use. It's like I said, user friendly. Going into the presentation, Mark had kind of filled me in on the cost of this, and my feeling was that's a lot of money for what we're looking at doing. But you know, after seeing the program, I wouldn't be opposed to doing it. The thing that I look at myself and say is okay, you know, are we going to end up doing this 2 years down the road or a year down the road? You know, I think this is probably something we're going to be doing. So if we have the ability to save $30,000 by signing on now, you know, I think it's something we should really look at doing, just for the fact that I think it's something we're going to do, you know, just for the reason of delaying it, just so we had more time to discuss it. You know, I think those are discussions we need to have, but I think there are also discussions we can have after we've signed on, because I think this is something ultimately that we'll end up doing. Just my personal feelings.
Rex, I one thing I see it really helping out is equalization. I did that this year, and all of us that do the equalization, we keep talking about, boy, for us to make a decision, the amount of information we have in front of us is, you know, I mean, it's what you have, but we go, it's very hard to make a decision based on that information. A lot of time it's what the individual himself brings or whatever, and we're making a decision. What I see from this is you can – so-and-so is going to come in and do it. You can have a packet ready, and we can see. We can make a lot better decision, because I know there's several times this year we felt like we're not making the right decision, but based on the information we have and based on the information they supplied, this is our best presentation of what that amount should be. And we quite often have talked about, boy, we're not doing the justification to it I think we should do to it and stuff. So I mean, and if we can get this done this fall, that was one of my thoughts too. If we get it done this fall, we're going to have that stuff for next year's equalization. But that's just another thing to help with it. But also what Gary said there, this is something that, or something like this, we will be doing in the future. And I would just as soon, if we can figure out a way to do it, and that's why we brought it up from the Finance Committee. They brought up the Finance Committee. I happened to be there that day. We said we need to bring this up for discussion so everybody can get their viewpoints out. We can start talking to each other, seeing what the information is out there, and discussing if we need it or not, instead of waiting 2 months or 3 months down the road.
Any more discussion? Thank you. Does anyone need a break before we go through committee reports? Good to go? Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't drink that much coffee.
Building and grounds.
Okay, we really don't have much. Talked to Dave Jones relative to, we're getting into the light season, so there may be just a few little things that will need to be done on replacing some lights, but it doesn't look like anything major this year. We should be, you know, it will be very economical, so nothing other than that.
This morning, Danny, I talked to the monument guys, and I asked them their thoughts on if we ever put a roof over that. And he says, I don't see, well, that would do you a lot of good, where a sealant would probably do you the same benefit. And I asked him what a sealant would cost, and he did not know. And I told him to talk to David and to see what it would cost, and because we don't know, it may be relatively inexpensive.
Okay.
But he thought we should seal it and do that. So that's all I got to add on that.
Okay, thank you.
Economic development.
I had some print-offs run here from our meeting the last couple weeks ago. One was the minutes, and then also the balance
or your financial statement. And I did at the last meeting there, they have put out for bids to have an accountant give them bids for doing a lot, not something similar to this, but the monthly payrolls, because Bill had been working for us 2 weeks, hadn't been paid, and they agreed to forward him so many dollars so that he had some income, because otherwise this wasn't going to be set up until the end of September to pay him on his payroll. But it just that's the information we had there. You know, they had a balance of roughly $31,000 plus, but they had some bills that they knew were outstanding, and they did send out then a copy of the bank statement later, like a week later or whatever, and stuff, so that we had all that. Then the one sheet here, proposed business development process, that's something that Bill brought to the board, and going over with us and going over, so everybody, he wants to make sure everybody's on the same page, so that when somebody comes to the county and says they're interested in doing something, then they have some guidelines for how that process will be followed or whatever. That was up for discussion, and I know they're going to meet with some of the city people and everybody else in the chamber, just to make sure that when there is a new contact comes into the county or whatever, that nobody knows. You know, right now it's kind of, well, we think you should go to Bill. Then here they will have the ideas, and they'll know the process, that there'll be a lot more things added on there, but he came up with a preliminary plan. And the other thing was, they did approve, they put out for bid for the insurance for Engage, and they did approve that, and I think it was $3,300 or $3,400. They had one company come back with, for all of their workman comp and all their other liability and everything, so they do have all that in place already. So,
okay. Any other questions? Emergency management, EMS.
Nothing.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance. Matt is gone.
Yeah, the one thing that we had really to discuss was the pictometry, and we discussed the fact that it hasn't been budgeted for this year, and you know, there wasn't any real delving into the budget to find a place to pay for it at this point, because we haven't decided that's the route we're going. So I guess that's pretty much it.
Okay. Human resource, employee relations.
Denny and Terry, I'd like to get a meeting together this next week, early next week. If you want to check your calendars, I'll get back to you. That's all.
Kathy, I would like, if you guys are looking at that, look at the handbook a little bit on our absentee policy, the sick time, how some of that is applied and how we are utilizing it with our employees. There's been some questions brought up on it.
I think it's laid out pretty well.
It is.
It's just a matter
is.
Of if people...
Just look at it, and that way we know from a committee's viewpoint.
Yeah, and also, I mean, do they have to request vacation in advance, or what? I mean, just can they show up today and say, I want vacation tomorrow? I mean, I don't...
You guys know where I'm headed.
Yeah,
on
no,
that,
we, so. We've had some questions arise. And are those policies in our handbook, or do we have them outlined, or is it more by each office, or, I mean, or...
It's all outlined.
It's outlined.
I can't say off the top of my head.
Yeah, we can't either. I mean, yeah, but, yeah.
But I know it's all outlined.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, we'll take...
Okay.
We'll put that on our agenda.
Okay. Anything else? Insurance?
Nothing.
Law enforcement? Did we go
yeah,
through
we
it?
Yeah, we had a committee meeting this Monday, but... Part of it, or a lot of it, we've covered already. The replacing the vehicle, and then the two building projects over there in the jail. But also, Gus is starting to look at hiring an additional deputy that's in the budget, and that he's been discussing. I think you discussed with one of the other counties too. Also, that what their costs are. No, you had an article that. Platte County or North Platte or one of them, Columbus went full-time on manning their screening station up there. So we had some discussion about that and about maybe hiring more part-time people. We even talked to Chris about it a little bit over here, but he said no, he didn't have time. So if he could man that part-time. But but working on that. He's still looking for another for the sheriff's department. He had a low mileage vehicle, which was also included in the budget. So,
okay, Road and Bridge, Terry.
Yes, everybody should have activity report of the three main crews. Galen's back to work part time starting this week. We have bridge inspections have begun in October. And I guess they're just on the cleanup site and the road closure. So that's about it.
Okay.
Fall allocations have begun, too. So there's the townships are now turning in their allocations. So they have started hauling already as we speak.
Spring is completed.
Spring is done. Fall's started right now. We got behind the eight ball, but we're caught up, and we're starting on fall allocations right now.
Okay.
Terry.
Yeah.
On the gravel, as far as the hauling goes, this last contract, was that all pretty much one individual hauling, or?
It depends on where the gravel was taken out of. The rock on pit was one hauler, basically, because he's the one that submitted the bid out of there, and that was the low bid. Now he's included in some of the other pits also. So basically, he'll be hauling most of the gravel.
That's what it appears as though. Yeah. Is that going to be functional, or is that?
Well, I think it's doable. Yeah, okay. I think he's got the equipment to keep ahead of the game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And Gary, a lot of it's hauled by our own,
right?
Semis too.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order, Gus? Anything else?
I think I'm right off.
Okay. Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10 o'clock.